Well, once again, welcome to Van Dyke Church and welcome all of you watching online right now. In fact, everybody in the house, love up on everybody online. Glad that you're with us because we are in week two of Love Doesn't Strut, this message series that we're doing here at Van Dyke Church in August 2016, and pretty excited about this. We got off to a great start last weekend, and this weekend we continue on with our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, let me say this as you're finding 1 Corinthians 13, which, by the way, yeah, go ahead and find it. If you got a Bible, great. If not, there's one in that seat near you, underneath you, on the front row, maybe phone, tablet, whatever device you got, whatever app you're using. Go ahead and find 1 Corinthians 13. It's in the New Testament, second part of the Bible. Now, as you're finding that, let me just say that next weekend, as we conclude this series, which can't wait for that message, God's laid some pretty neat stuff on my heart about next weekend. But beyond next weekend, into Sunday afternoon, we're going to do a value add. We're going to do something called Continuing the Conversation. And our friends from the Life Connection Counseling Center are going to come and lead a panel that Sunday afternoon. You see this in your bulletin, by the way, okay? They're going to lead a panel on what healthy relationships are all about and how to do healthy conflict resolution. How many of you have ever had to do conflict resolution? Raise your hand. If your hand's not up, you're like a liar or you're in like denial somewhere. So that's going to be what it's all about for continuing the conversation next Sunday afternoon. Check out your bulletin. Go to vandyke.org and just search Continue the Conversation, okay? But for now, we're diving into week two here of Love Doesn't Strut, and we're specifically looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, beginning this weekend, all right? Again, this is Paul, the apostle, writing this letter to the church that he established, that he planted in Corinth, in Greece, 2,000 years ago. And like all the letters, he's writing back to these churches that he planted, addressing issues, problems, kind of helping them out because they're baby infant churches and most of them baby infant Christians, just kind of new to the faith. And he's helping them understand these particular issues. And again, I would submit to you that what Paul writes has just as much, if not more, I believe, transferable value for you and me today, 2,000 years later, than even for that first set of ears and disciples who were hearing this 2,000 years ago. So 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Amen? What Paul is writing about here when he addresses this whole issue of love in 1 Corinthians 13, is he's writing about how you unpack that, how you apply that, what it actually looks like, smells like, feels like. What does agape love really do? Remember we talked about that last week in the four Greek words for love, much more descriptive language than we have in modern English. And there was, you know, the Greek word eros for erotic love, kind of sexual love. And then there was storge for the love among like family members, brother, sister, you know, parent, child. And then there's philia, all right? Philia is philanthropic love, the Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, just kind of love for humankind. But he's not writing about any of those. That's not the Greek word he's using in the original manuscripts here. The one Greek word he uses through this whole chapter is the word agape. Everyone say agape. And that's the ancient Greek word for love, which meant unconditional, unflinching, immovable, unshakable, sacrificial love, the love that originates from God. And that's what he's beginning to describe. He says, that's what it looks like, if you've ever wondered. Now, as you see 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, for me, I look at that, and I see that as kind of a checklist. And what I want you to understand is it's the love checklist, which equals your greatness checklist. Now, understand this. This love checklist, verses 4 through 7, is all about your greatness. And what I want you to do is to look down at the bottom of this chapter, verse 13, because he concludes this whole chapter by saying, there are three things that will last forever. faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. So love is the greatest. I mean, faith is awesome, yes, and the Bible teaches us to have faith, but faith can be diminished sometimes. And hope is awesome. The Bible teaches us to grow our hope as well, but hope can fade and it can be tarnished sometimes. But if love, if the unconditional, unflinching, agape love is residing within us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, then that kind of love can restore faith and renew hope. And that's why love is the greatest. And so the love checklist equals your greatness checklist. Now, some of you who have been to weddings that I officiate, you know that I will often at weddings with the couple that's being married go through this checklist. And I'll kind of go through this checklist in a very, you know, sort of a practical way, in a way that maybe opens their minds and maybe a way you've never thought about as well either, okay? So let me just kind of see if I can get a little help here. This is when y'all start looking at your shoes, I know. I usually never do this, but I'm going to freak somebody out, okay? In fact, Zach and Stephanie, oh, look at her. She hates me. Everyone love up on Zach and Stephanie as they're coming on up. All right. Yes. Awesome. Okay. Now, Zach, you stand right here. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, you stand right over here. Okay. Well, I'm going to pay for this. Okay. Now, how long have you guys been married?
8 years.
8 years. Got, you know, two. He said it first. Oh, no, he said it. The guy gets the credit. Okay. Now, they got two great kids, Drew and Brooklyn. So anyway, now, what I'm going to do is have you stand and face each other, okay, just like you're getting married, okay? Now, I'm going to read this checklist in a kind of a different way, all right? When it talks about love. So this is what it sounds like. Zach is patient and kind. Stephanie is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Zach does not demand his own way. Stephanie is not irritable, keeps no record of being wronged. Ladies. Okay, anyway, I'm getting in trouble here. Zach does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Stephanie never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and Zach endures through every circumstance. Amen? Doesn't that sound great? Aren't they incredible people? Now, Zach, is that the way Stephanie always loves? Don't answer that. Okay, no, I'm not going to make you do that right here, okay? By the way, I know some good marriage counselors. Anyway, so, but that's the way it's supposed to look and feel. Now, that should be both exciting and terrifying at the same time, and it should be very humbling. Okay, because here's the deal. Zach can't love like that, and Stephanie can't love like that. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. God can love like that. So, when you receive, as Stephanie and Zach have done, when you receive the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you surrender to Him as Lord and Savior, in that moment of conversion, He has indwelled your spirits. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and the Holy Spirit can love like that through you. Amen? And so that's the key that begins to unlock this. And we're going to kind of unpack some of that. But for right now, will you give Zach and Stephanie some love as they're heading off? I love you, Stephanie. Man, I'm going to pay for that. Okay. Now, in order to help you apply this and not just kind of, you know, put Zach and Stephanie on the spot here, I'm going to have the ushers start passing out to you now a love checklist. Now, this time, when the baskets come to you, okay, take something out, okay? Now, if you still want to put some money in, do it again. But anyway, just take out this love checklist, all right? This is what it looks like. And what I'm going to have you do is to kind of do a little bit of some introspection, some self-diagnostic work here about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And we're going to kind of have a way that we unpack this. Now, when you get this, you'll notice that it's got a lot of blanks next to each one of those descriptors of agape love. All right, blank is patient, blank is kind, blank is not jealous. What I want you to do as soon as you get this is to grab a pen, pencil, okay? If you can't find a pen or pencil in the pew rack or in your purse or every, prick your finger and write this in blood. It's that important, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to write your name in each of those blanks. Go ahead, start doing it. Write your name in each of those blanks. Now, as you're writing your name in each of those blanks, like I would do, you know, Matthew is patient, Matthew is kind, Matthew is not jealous. Now, already I'm feeling kind of, because my wife is right here this service, and so it's like I'm busted. So, but what I want you to do is I want you to write your name, even if it like seems like a disconnect right now, go ahead and write your name by each one of those. Now, as you're writing your name by each one of those, just kind of, you know, say it when you write it, all right? Say it when you write it, like there's Steve over there. So Steve would be like, Steve is patient. Steve is kind. Steve is not jealous, all right? And just kind of say that to yourself. And the stranger it sounds when you say that line, maybe God's speaking to your heart. Maybe there's some prompting there about what God would have you see as a priority to begin to create alignment in your heart with His agape love heart. Amen? Some of you may feel out of line and like, okay, I'm not supposed to be boastful or prideful here, but that one I think I'm doing better in, okay? And that's all right to feel that way, okay? Just don't stand up and shout it. Then you're prideful and boastful and you blew it. So, but this is for you to keep. This, we're not going to do something where you turn this in later or something, or you get, you know. No, just, this is for you to hold on to. And what I want you to do is to hold on to this and keep it where you will see it every day. Use it as a Bible bookmark for when you do your devotions each day. Maybe, like, stick it up on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your nightstand. You can see it each night. Put it on your desk at work. Maybe a coworker will see it and look at it and go, ha! Anyway, so put it wherever you will see it on a consistent basis. Okay? And we're gonna kind of continue to unpack that in just a moment here. But what I want to do is kind of want to work down that list, and I want to simply create a spectrum here, because on each one of these, can we just do a gut check here right now? How many of you could say by a show of hands that you wrote your name down on each one of those and boom, you're 100% on each one? Any hands up? Okay. I knew, yeah. See, you and I, we're the only ones. We got it down. We got this made. So obviously it's a spectrum. Some days, okay, man, we're moving full steam ahead. Some days we're a train wreck on that particular issue, whether it's, you know, patience or, you know, whether it's, you know, giving up or rudeness or pride or, you know. So I'm not going to ask you right now, you know, on each one of these to kind of self-identify on whether this was a moving forward day or a train wreck day or total derailment or whatever, okay? But let's kind of walk through this and think about this. Three things will last forever, remember. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So here's your greatness checklist. Impatient, patient. Now, what I want you to think about with each one of these is kind of think about, you know, very visually. In fact, you can, is it a blank sheet on the back of that? I can't remember how they were printed. Yeah, you may want to do this on the back side, okay? Just kind of go through this exercise, write it down right now. You know, on one side of the page, write impatient, and on the other side of the page, write patient. Draw that line just like we've done on the presentation screen here, and maybe envision that line as kind of 1 to 10. And maybe you don't want to do it now where others will, like, look over your shoulder, because I know we all cheat. You'll look at each other. I know, okay? So maybe you want to do this privately on your own. Maybe some of you are just very transparent, like, okay, let me put the X right there. Let me put my dot right there. This is where I feel like I am today, okay? And some of you may put the dot way over here. I mean, you lost it just trying to get to church on time, okay? Maybe blew up on your family and, like, yelled at your spouse, whatever, okay? So maybe you put it down there today, or maybe you put it a little bit more up here today. Because again, these are not static. These are not static gauges. They're called dynamic gauges. These all leak. Okay? Left to their own, left on your own devices, okay? Every single one of these does what? Just kind of leaks down this way. Just slides down to this end of the scale. All right, but just be thinking about, maybe not today, just think about this past week. Where was there evidence of impatience, and where was there evidence of patience in my life? Again, across all relationships, if this is what love looks like, how did you love this week? With friends, coworkers, neighbors, kids, parents, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, teachers, students, just started school back, amen? So again, each one of these we could do as a whole separate, not message, but a whole separate message series. Amen? Okay? All right, next one. Mean or kind? I mean, be real. Be brutally honest with yourself. You know, where during this week have I sensed that meanness is kind of oozing out of my pores, kind of spilling over on other people? Or where have there been displays of kindness in my life this week? Just kind of unconditional kindness, unmerited kindness. I'm not expecting anything in return type, just kindness. Maybe think about this one while you're driving down Dale Mabry. That'd be a good one to kind of keep in mind right here, all right? So mean versus kind. Jealous or trusting? Remember it says, love is not jealous. All right? So, you know, what's the first thing that strikes in your spirit with anything that might spark jealousy? Boastful or modest? I mean, if something's going well for you, if you've earned something or achieved something or accomplished something, okay, you've made something. I mean, now, it's okay to feel good about yourself. It's okay to, like, share good fortune with other people and share good news with other people. But it can shift over into boastfulness, where it's all about, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm superior. I'm better than you. Okay? So where are you sensing in your life more of a boastful orientation toward life, or just a modest, self-effacing orientation toward life? Even in the face of just sort of great wins and gains, how modest are you? Which, by the way, that's a very attractive quality. If you want to repel other people, okay, if you want to be very attractive and winsome to other people, modest. Rude or respectful? Now, we could camp out here for a while. Because we all know how to be rude. We all know how to be short with each other. You know, just kind of like clip our sentences with each other, say what we didn't mean to say. Which, by the way, part of me just wants to move off the sermon for a while when I talk about rude and respectful and time. Did you notice that in today's world, customer service is a lost art? Man, I got a bigger amen than anything I've ever preached. Okay, so rude and respectful. All right, next one. Demanding or flexible. Remember what 13, 4 through 7 says. You know, love does not demand its own way. I mean, love doesn't have an iron fist like that. You know, love just doesn't pound like that. Love is flexible. Love is adaptable. And I know some of you may have some maybe demanding spirits, and it's kind of the way you've gone through life, and it's kind of the way you've gone through relationships and marriage, or marriage 2, marriage 3, marriage 4. I'm just saying. I'm, you know, may sound funny. I mean, I'm not making light of it. It's just the way it is. I mean, I've performed second and third marriages for people. I it's just the reality. And if here, can I just, let me pause for a second. The reason why second marriages fail at an exponentially higher rate than first marriages and third marriages fail at an exponentially higher rate than even second marriages is guess what? Because the people entering into the marriages never dealt with the actual issues that led to the first divorce. Okay? God loves you if you're divorced. That's not the issue here. He wants to set you up for a win if you're going to get married again. And so you got to face your stuff. You got to face your junk because no one's 100% at fault. Okay? So we all have junk that we need to work on. Okay? So demanding versus flexible. Irritable or cheerful? Now, this is where you may not easily self-diagnose. So just ask the people closest to you. Am I an irritable person? Am I kind of prickly or am I cheerful? And if they say something you don't like and you immediately just kind of blow up, well, you found out you're irritable. Boom, quiz over. Are you a grudge holder or a grudge releaser? Do you know that this derails more relationships? Marriages are all relationships. Even sibling relationships. Parent-child. This can be a train wreck in a lot of people's lives. And it's about a spirit of forgiveness or unforgiveness in our lives. And you've heard me do a whole series on that before. We'll do it again even. All right, grudge holder or grudge releaser? Do you tolerate injustice or do you stand for justice? You look the other way? You not want to get involved? Or do you stand for justice? Are you untruthful or truthful? Don't answer that. Okay. Do you give up easily? Or are you persevering in the face of all odds, all obstacles? Are you fearful or faithful? Does fear dominate your life? Remember 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of what? Power, love, and self-control. Power, love, and self-control. Those three are inextricably tied together, by the way. You can't have any of them to their fullest expression without each other. Power, love, and self-control. So do you live life fearfully or do you live life faithfully trusting in God? Or are you a despairing person or a hopeful person? And that's not just glass half empty, glass half full. No, I mean, this is about, again, the basic heartbeat, basic orientation of your life. Are you a despairing person? Are you a hopeful person no matter what strikes at any one moment in your life? And are you weak or enduring? Are you weak or enduring? Just unflinching, unshakable, unstoppable, regardless of the circumstances. So how'd you do? Are you depressed now? Are you a little worried now? Okay. So here's the deal. You take these. You take them home with you. And let them be a reminder of these checklists, especially if you kind of wrote all that down on the back, okay? And let it not be depressing. Let it be hopeful. Let it be very hopeful. That this is what your life was always meant to look like. Your name actually belongs in those blank spaces. No matter how much you think, like, well, no, I'm an imposter. I'm just a poser and a pretender. You know, that's not really reality. Okay? It is your destiny in Jesus Christ. It is your calling in the Lord. It is your Christ identity to have your name properly before each of those descriptors of agape love. Because the reality is, We are told in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, again, like I demonstrated with Zach and Stephanie earlier, when it comes to loving each other, loving people in our spheres of influence that way with that kind of checklist, it is not you actually doing the loving. Amen? It is who? It is Christ. I can do all, not some things, not most things, not things I'm particularly motivated for, not things I'm particularly talented at or want to do. No, I can do all things through my willpower. No. Through my efforts alone. No. Through Christ who strengthens me. So that as you surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life and say, yes, I believe and receive you as Lord and Savior. Again, in that moment, you are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit and invited into an adventure of growth, invited into continually opening up the aperture in your soul so that the Holy Spirit can more and more work in and through you and express from you to be able to love like that, because you and I are complete messes. We can't love like that. But God can love enduringly and unshakably like that with agape love that has no conditions or strings attached to it. Amen? That's why the Christian life is not just a moment of conversion, a moment of justification, a moment where we bow the knee and surrender to Jesus Christ. That's just a starting gate to a great adventure of transformation in this life as a new creation in Jesus Christ as we move on toward that day, and that day will come for all of us when we go on to our glory as well. Amen? So we're all works in progress. You, me, all of us are works in progress in Jesus Christ. Because you remember how all this works? If you're here last weekend and you paid attention, you know the secret ingredient. You know the key that unlocks it all. You know how all this love actually gets started. 1 John chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me, go ahead and do it. I'm going to start reading pretty quickly here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the equally second commandment. However, that is not your first priority. That is not your first goal. Your first priority is not to love the Lord your God. Your first priority is not to love your neighbor as you love yourself. What is your first priority? To perceive the love of God, to believe the love of God for you, and to receive the love of God for you. Nothing enduring ever happens. Nothing great ever happens. No love gets produced out of your life for God or anybody else with any sustainable shelf life or any real, authentic, genuine authenticity in your life until you first get in your heart and under your belt and in your gut the reality that you are a precious, awesome creation of the Most High God. And no matter how far away you feel from him, no matter how much you feel separated from him, he would do anything in the world, including coming himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, and going to the cross for you and me so that he could demonstrate that he is irrevocably head over heels, relentlessly in love with you, and would do anything to show you that love and give you that love and build a relationship with you based on that love and bring you forever to him in heaven to live in that love. That's love. That's love.